If you're talking about a film, well, it better be the Goonies.
San Diego now has its very own sitcom. The plot is loosely based on the creators' real lives and the filming locations, the places they actually go. Nobody in the main cast had any substantial acting experience, unless you count a middle school play. But the show might surprise you. It's funny, it's generating real buzz, and most of all, it feels authentic. You could even argue the main character isn't a person at all. It's Ocean Beach. The show is named for the way OB sits on the very western terminus of one of San Diego's busiest freeways. It's called End of the Eight. The team spent 2 years on and off making the pilot episode.
We wrote it, we shot it.
Made the music for
it. Acted in it, made the soundtrack, you know, and kind of assembled that Avengers team to figure out what pieces needed to be filled where.
They're a tight-knit group of friends who've managed to figure out how to make something that people really care about. With only the pilot finished, they've already won awards at multiple film festivals. Their clips have gone viral on Instagram. They even sold out a premiere party at the Harp in Ocean Beach. The team is already deep in the episode 2, with the rest of season 1 on the way, now with a little bit of a budget. Since the pilot, they've raised a humble $4,000 on GoFundMe, mostly through small donations from people in their own community. It's the kind of grassroots filmmaking that's getting people excited, not just in Ocean Beach, but beyond it. Independent filmmaking is having a moment. Obsession was a huge box office hit, independently produced by young filmmakers who got their start on YouTube. Audiences are hungry for the next low-budget indie hit, and Hollywood is paying attention. And End of the Eight checks some of the same boxes. But the crew that's making it isn't thinking too far ahead. What are your hopes for the future?
I want to be an astronaut.
No, when I grow up, I'm like almost 30. I don't know. Keep working on the project right now. Just see where that can grow. I got a nice spot right now in OB. Got my dog.
And like if Apple TV called?
Oh, I mean, we would answer and we would talk. But I mean, a big thing for us, we really don't want this to become a thing that was like, wow, it had such beautiful, like, promising roots, and then they sold out, and now mm-hmm. everyone knows about Ocean Beach, but it's handled by people that don't even like Ocean Beach or don't even live there or don't really know about the place. Like,
now we're living in Morocco trying to run this or something.
Yeah, or even worse, Hollywood.
But, or PB.
But, yeah. But in terms of, like, the pilot, I think the thing that people really are – that makes it kind of contagious or draws people to it is it feels authentic.
It's like grandma's cookies, you know. Authentic, but really good. You could sell it.
From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans. Two of End of the Eight's co-creators took a break from finishing up their second episode to visit us at our KPBS studio.
My name is Daniel Dyer. I am the director and co-creator of End of the Eight.
My name is John Christini. I'm the producer, co-creator of End of the Eight.
Our conversation was super OB from the very beginning, starting with our usual mic check question. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Hello, can you hear me? I had coffee for breakfast.
Same.
It's about it. Coffee and a sunrise.
Dinner last night. I worked till 2 in the morning.
Jumbo, what do you do for work? Tell the good people.
I'm a bartender down at the Harp in Ocean Beach.
Nice.
One of the best, in my
opinion. I worked at a fair share of the bars down in OB. A lot of good stories.
Let's start with, like, your origin story, like, mm-hmm. your background.
Yeah, John, you want to go first? Since you're actually a local,
yeah,
more so than me.
I'm from San Diego. I grew up in San Carlos, just right off the 8 over by SCSU, right around here.
Mm-hmm.
I came to OB during COVID. I was staying at, like, an ex's granny flat, and they kicked me out. And I didn't really have a spot to move, so I moved to OB, and my buddy just got a spot over there, and there was like 20 people sleeping on the floor and the couches. So me and my ex, we had to pitch a tent in the backyard and stayed in a tent for a summer, and then haven't really left.
Yeah.
I left the tent, but haven't left OB.
Yeah. Yeah. Humble beginnings, yeah.
Daniel is the show's director. By day, he runs his own video production company.
I'm from LA originally, but I moved down here for college, undergrad. At SDSU, good old SDSU. But going to OB, I was kind of like, wow, this feels like I can make this a new home. And then, luckily enough, found a spot to actually rent and stay there. So I haven't left since.
Where did the idea to make this show come from?
John and I both, like, one day were sitting in my buddy's garage, same place he used to live at, over on Ebers.
You used to live in that garage as well?
It was like, it's like a commune spot. It's like, it's just an interchanging, just rotisserie of characters. At least it was for a while, you know. It was like a safe haven for a lot of people. But we were, like, sitting, at least the way I recall it, we were sitting in a garage, and I, for a while, had been throwing this idea to some of my other buddies, like, oh, we should make a show, or we should, like, do a skit or something, because I'd been having an itch for a while. I did a lot of corporate videography work, trying to make it a little bit more on the creative side of things. The reason I kind of got into this is so I can create things, tell stories, and I hadn't really done that yet, I felt. But then I mentioned to John one day, and John was like, I've been wanting to do this too. Like, no way. Mm-hmm. And he was like, super stoked on it, and I was like, okay, cool. Found my partner in crime that's, like, down for it. And then we really, like, we just started with one idea, and it was this whole thing of, like, us coming up with a band name.
We all live at the end of the 8, so why don't we just be End of the 8.
End of the 8. End of the 8. Yeah, yeah.
Then we're like, well, I have another skit idea. And after a while, I was kind of like, wait, John, I think we can just put these together, get a few more ideas down. And if we thread it a certain way, this is like a sitcom about OB, you know, for OB.
That first skit established the basic premise of the show. A band of 4 guys in OB trying to make it. In addition to Daniel and John, the other 2 fictional band members are played by Spence Noble and Casey Dring, real-life members of another OB band called Band of Gringos. Making the pilot wasn't quick. The 2 years it took them is a long time to stay excited about a creative project, especially juggling other jobs and having no funding. And they had to figure out a lot of stuff as they went, drafting and editing scripts, organizing shoots, and helping a cast of first-time actors find their footing. So nobody had acting experience?
Danny probably had the most.
I mean, I used to do, like, plays. My mom, she kind of forced me to, but it was for the best. Like, when I was in, like, ninth grade, she was like, I'm not driving you home until you go try out for the theater.
But mom, I don't want to wear
tights.
And
I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to, and I secretly did, but it was just way more of, like, being insecure and, like, ninth grader. And, but yeah, I mean, like, did a few plays and that's really it. And, like, I acted in a few short films that my brothers and I directed, but nothing as extensive as this. And I don't think anyone else really has, except Julia, who was the music director,
mm-hmm.
Julia Dietze.
Julia plays a music video director who aggressively attempts to coax acting skills out of the band.
I want tears. I want fashion! I want all scallops.
She's great, and she is, like, an actual, like, bona fide actor from, like, Germany, and she was, like, in full feature films over there. Mm-hmm. So that was, like, the one scene where we're kind of like, oh, we're kind of working with the professional guys, like, you know.
Let's pick it up here a little bit.
I mean, it's like play within a play, right? Like, mm-hmm. that was happening to you when you're being shot by her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a meta aspect to that.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, it was pretty much just a group of friends figuring out a creative project together. And here is as good a place as any for a content warning. The show, and by extension our conversation, contains mentions of drug and alcohol use. So did everybody work for free?
Yeah, for the most part. I'm trying to think if we...
We just kind of paid them in beer and weed.
Yeah. And good times. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And notoriety in the town. Yeah. No. But,
physical affection, cogs.
Most of the characters are exaggerated versions of themselves and people they already knew. After all, they were writing what they know.
From my end, too, it was almost like, well, this is a no-brainer because most of my friends are in bands and they're trying to make it. Like, this is such an... like,
yeah, it's our lives.
That's
already
the beauty of, like, half the... a big component of End of the Eight for the acting side of things and directing has been, okay, well, I'm going to lean into this person, who they are in real life. Let's just hyperbolize certain components to them that are like standout little quirks.
One of my favorite scenes comes when the band is sitting around doing, quote, homework, which is watching an AC/DC live performance, when their YouTube video is interrupted by an ad. The team made and directed this ad, too, and it's exquisite. It's like chef's table, but the chef is not working with food.
For the first time ever, you'll learn how to roll from bud to blazing. You'll see a side of me across this class that I don't think anyone has ever seen before.
Wait, he's not even... this is for weed?
Damn. The Ferrari of foliage. Trust me, this one's gonna get you a misdemeanor in Utah, people. Join me.
That's our buddy Trevor Toya. He's an actual chef. He's really, really, really good chef.
He was my roommate for a long time at that house, mm-hmm. the party house kind of thing.
Yeah, and then we're like, well, let's do a like Gordon Ramsay sort of like knockoff master class, but make it about marijuana, of course.
Yeah, because Danny can't roll. Well, so that's kind of part of the inside joke is, but the world should know Danny.
I mean, the commercial, just like the idea of it in the first place is good, but I was laughing so hard. I was watching it at my desk, and I was losing my mind.
I love that. God.
Another standout character in the show is someone not in the fictional band. Luke is a kind of unhinged attorney who offers to help the band make it big.
Call me. Let's collab, huh? Let's influence!
What about Luke?
Luke, tattooed Luke, yeah.
He's
my neighbor.
Uh-huh.
I see him every day at Little Lion Cafe because I go there for coffee in the morning. I live right next to it. Mm-hmm. He lives across the street. He's always there. Early on, I was like writing a character idea of like, we need like the slimy manager kind of guy, but like OB version. And I had like a monologue written for like the jacuzzi scene when he's like pitching to us.
I'm thinking today, Winston's, tomorrow, arenas, private jets, world tours.
He's already such an outgoing, like, extroverted, like...
Mm-hmm. It's like Danny McBride.
He's like a Danny McBride. He's also a total teddy bear. He's not like...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but he's got, like, the tattoos, and at the time he had the freaking, like, American Wasteland mohawk and everything. Like, he was really, like, already, like, basically...
A character.
...written for the show. He's been wanting to act for a while now, so... It's really cool. Like, I'm going to help him make his, like, reel, his acting reel, based off the first two episodes.
You'll be in the acceptance speech day.
It's like, anytime he's on the screen, he just eats it up. It becomes his show when he's talking.
Coming up, we talk about the real star of the show, OB. What people get wrong about it, and why Daniel says he thinks the neighborhood is, quote, contagious. Stay with us. Plenty of sitcoms are rooted in a place. Philadelphia has It's Always Sunny. New York has Seinfeld, Friends, and naturally a bunch of other shows. And now Ocean Beach has End of the Eight. Between scenes, viewers catch familiar street signs, beaches, murals, and local restaurants. Anyone who knows OB will recognize them. How did you go about filming and finding locations, like the places, like what parts of OB you wanted to show?
I would say, like, as we're talking about the skits, they kind of start to write themselves a lot of the time. Like, you know, we're like, we need to shoot in a restaurant. Who's going to let us film there? You know, it's like Hodad's was cool with it.
Yeah.
Raglan's was, you know, so places that we like to go ourselves.
we go to Hodad's, and we have a friend who like knows the owner of Hodad's. So it was like, there's a direct contact. Boom, bring all my studio lights in there, bring all the actors, scripts.
So boss, can we get like 2 double bacon burgers? I'm thinking like 3 things of fries, probably like 1 chocolate shake.
And now at this point, it's beautiful. Like we kind of have something to give back to these businesses as we're like getting more of a crowd that's viewing us. You know? So
yeah,
it's a nice two-way street, ideally.
Because our big initiative for this is like we really want to like cross promote and cross brand with a lot of other OB staples. So it feels like it's a community collective kind of like marketing tool to a certain extent, but also like just an overall just sort of like homage to what this unique town is, you know?
How would you describe Ocean Beach then to someone who has never been there?
Chill beach town. It's a San Diego's like has all these little subsections and each one's a little different vibe of where you want to be. And OB's more like known as the hippie kind of spot, but you get a lot of different people in OB. It's not just kind of like PB where you want to just party, or La Jolla where I'm going to go have a nice dinner, or, you know, it's like OB's just very like, yeah, let's have a couple beers, catch a wave, live music later, you know?
It kind of harnesses like a different kind of era, I feel like, of like the atmosphere and the feeling. It's almost like small town vibes, yet you're like nestled on the coastline, which is gorgeous, but you're right in the middle of this, one of the busiest, most like just eclectic kind of cities in the world. But then you also have like this small little spot where you're like, you get off the 8 and you're like, you know, right near the skate park or something, and you can kind of feel everything just slow down.
Yeah.
And it's almost like Hawaii time a little bit, where people are, it's like, why is there a need to rush here when we have everything that people literally travel all around the world to come to this spot? You know what I mean? Like people kind of have that, they're conscientious of that a little bit more than I think other places in San Diego.
It's like a little vortex.
You know? It is.
Get sucked in.
Yeah.
What do you think people get wrong about Ocean Beach?
There's so many like false misconceptions. I mean, a lot of people perceive it, if you're not from OB or if you don't go there a lot, as like it's just dirty, it's dumpy, it's, you know, I got a homelessness problem. And I mean, there's a little bit of that, but that's like such the minority in comparison to all of the other just beautiful aspects of the town and all the different kind of people and small businesses and events and creations, bands, you name it. There's so much of that that's all kind of pinballing off each other in such like an energetic way that, you know, it's contagious. It's infatuating.
You are lucky enough to be in San Diego, and you're lucky enough to be in Ocean Beach, and we are the end of the 8.
I think when people have a strong love for their community, or, you know, like people from like Boston, or I'm from the Bronx, I'm from, you know, there's a sense of pride there, and there's a lot of that in Ocean Beach. We don't have like an accent that would go with we're from Ocean Beach, but
everyone is so accepting, and like people don't really have that fear of like expressing themselves, because they kind of feel a little bit of that Grateful Dead sort of mindset of like, well, you know, we're all weird, so let's just be weird together. You don't have to overthink it. So I mean, we want to make sure we represent the town in a positive light, even if we are sarcastically lampooning a lot of the components to it at times, because it's all out of love, even if we are making fun of ourselves.
Yeah,
you know?
And we do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the kale still come with the free-range oxygen foam? No. Okay, I'll just get the charcoal chia seeds and the cruelty-free cactus juice, please.
The show has become something of a hyper-local hit, which is a pretty rare phenomenon in our time. We're used to things going viral online with no real geographical bounds. But End of the 8 has grown the old-fashioned way. Neighbor to neighbor, word of mouth, flyers around town, and a few big events.
I think it has gotten traction overall in terms of people really enjoying it and really wanting to support it and also just be a part of it, which has been so cool.
It's so cool.
So many people on the street will just be like, dude, I have like a great skit idea, or like, oh my gosh, you got to talk to my friend who's a great actor. He really wants to be in your show. Like people really want to be a part of it. And we encourage that kind of community. So it's awesome to see. Honestly, the Winston scene at the end is my favorite, because it was what we did is we filmed the band going on stage, and it's actually like the reveal of, you know, a bunch of people there. But we advertised around town as like, hey, we're doing a live show. We're doing a shoot for the scene, but we're also going to do a live show of our original music. So we did a really cool just blend of like me on stage with a mic going like, all right, now we got to film the one take we need for the final episode. But I mean, it was successful. And that was like one of the first kind of glimpses. It was a big glimpse into like seeing how people showed up for it. We want to make more moments like that in the future where it's like, oh, they're doing an end of the eight like scene. That's so cool. Like, I want to be in the back, you know,
so kind of be in the show.
Create that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. So.
But the show's also seeing some love outside San Diego. They entered it in film festivals, and the response surprised even them.
It won Best Pilot at the Los Angeles Film Awards.
Best Ensemble Cast.
In a different award. It's been selected in like 6 to 7 film festivals, and it's gotten awards in like 6 of them.
Amazing.
So, yeah. Cool.
And they're not like, you know, like Sundance or anything, but it's like, okay, cool. Like some of them are relatively acknowledged, at least in LA and in New York. So it's cool to see.
And we definitely didn't submit it thinking we're going to get a bunch of awards. So it was cool to.
Now you can say that you're an award winning sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
We get the little laurels.
Yeah, we got,
we did. We made posters and everything. Yeah.
Daniel said he's had some positive meetings with industry people, and their advice is to keep making it themselves and get a completed season one together before taking any big steps.
Our likelihood of like getting onto a big streaming platform, which is like one of our goals, is way higher if we already kind of do the legwork of like, hey, we have a 6, 7, 8 episode season here. Yeah. Like you can like bootstrap it. And because of so many platforms like YouTube, like Instagram, like you can create your own following and generate some sort of traction, and then at some point, like, they will have no choice but to look your way.
I mean, there's also this risk, I guess, like, if somebody from a production company or, a network is like, yeah, I'm interested, let me have it, then it's, like, goes to a writer's room, mm-hmm. and it's...
It gets revamped, or they'll be like, we liked it all, but John needs to be recasted. We, you know, the executive producer's son really wants to be hanging out with you guys. So one of you's got to, you know what I mean? Like, we don't want that. We never want that. Like, that's, I mean, that's the beauty of like having the creative drive, at least, is like we know we could do it ourselves.
For now, they plan to keep figuring things out together and finish the season one episode at a time.
And if we continue this path of like refining, optimizing what we did wrong or what we did right, and then like fixing what we did wrong on the last episode with the new one, I think we can get that faster than we think. It does seem like a massive mountain to climb, but I think it's fun because we're all climbing it together and we're all friends. And you know, it's not like it's grueling in the most beautiful way possible when it comes to the hard work for it. So, yeah.
Amazing. Thank you all so much.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Shout out to KPBS.
This was really fun.
Yeah. And shout out to my mom, Kim Dyer. Love you. And it's not live, but, you know.
Shout out Brant Honko, and Miles, Stephen, Tyson. Thank you guys at the heart.
Yes. And Trish, my girlfriend, and the entire cast of End of the Eight.
Special thanks to Daniel Dyer and John Christini. You can find the link to the End of the Eight pilot on our episode page.
And and shout out to Kiba, the dog.
Oh, Kibi. You guys will see him in the next episode. Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for listening. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a rating or comment. It makes a real difference and helps stories like these reach more people. The Finest is a production of KPBS Public Media in San Diego. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. Our producer is Anthony Wallace, who also composed the score. Ben Redlosk is our engineer, and Chrissy Nguyen is our editor. This episode was written and researched by Anthony and me.